morning. This is the Committee on Health, Human Services, and Housing. It is Friday, April 25th, and we're here this morning to continue our hearing on Senate File 1641, Senator Dibble. Before you begin, Senator Dibble, members and those who are here for the presentation this morning, we're a little delayed. As you can see, a couple of our members have called indicating that they're delayed in traffic because of a traffic crash that's occurred somewhere on the highway. So we're watching to make sure that people are able to get here in time to actually participate in the hearing this morning. So I will be watching that. But we want to begin and offer the opportunity for Senator Dibble to complete the presentation that he wants to make on the bill. So bear with us. Thank you very much for your patience. Senator Dibble.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate the good start that we got on an excellent hearing and discussion before we went to break. In a few minutes, I'll offer an amendment that'll walk us through quite a number of adjustments that we've made in response to both that hearing and subsequent conversations that members and I have had to be responsive to good ideas, issues, and concerns. Before that, Madam Chair, with your indulgence, we do have Dr. Suzanne Sisley here from Arizona who wanted to just take maybe 5 or 10 minutes to talk a little bit about her experience and the experience of that state. So we have Ms. Sisley.
Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you.
From Arizona.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sue Sisley. I'm a physician. I work at the UVA, the University of Arizona College of Medicine, and one of my roles there, one of my major academic pursuits, is I do research on cannabis that has been approved by the FDA, and I have been at this now about 5 years. We designed the study back in 2009 and have been fighting this battle ever since then and have still not been allowed to implement that study. So I wanted to make sure that I shared the typical timeline for conducting marijuana research in this country so everyone could be aware of the extreme, you know, very severe hurdles to conducting federally regulated marijuana research. It is very tough, and that's why you see only rarely an investigator who's willing to jump those hurdles to try to make this happen. Our study is looking at combat veterans who have treatment-resistant post-traumatic stress disorder. It is a randomized controlled trial, and that is why we have not relented, because our combat vets are so important to this country, and we desperately need to find solutions to this problem. And in the 3 or 4 years now that this study has been delayed, you know, our FDA approval came in 2011, early 2011, and you can see that even today we still have not come very much closer to implementing this study. We're still probably miles away from actually being able to do this. And in the 3 years since our FDA approval, if you look at the statistics about the number of veterans who kill themselves in this country each day, the data from the VA says 22 vets kill themselves each day in this country. And in the 3 years that this has been delayed since FDA approval, 24,000 veterans have killed themselves. And I would submit to you that many of these veterans could have benefited from the use of medical marijuana to help ease the symptoms of PTSD. That's the hypothesis of our study. And that's why it's so heartbreaking that this study continues to be stymied. So I applaud the efforts, the proposal from the health department to try to conduct clinical research on marijuana. I hope that their study does get implemented, but I want you to know that the federal regulatory hurdles are brutal, and the notion that this study will be implemented anytime in the next few years is a fantasy. The NIDA, the National Institute on Drug Abuse, is the only legal supply of marijuana in this country. There is no other place where you can go to purchase marijuana to conduct FDA-approved trials except NIDA. And so if we're talking about whole plant medicine, studying the whole plant. And the problem is that NIDA does not have high CBD dosages available. So they've made that very clear to us in letters that have been recently documented, where they have said that there is no high CBD strains available, even though we sent them our FDA protocol 3 years ago that clearly stated that part of our protocol included high CBD dosages. They were not, 3 years later, they are still not able to produce this strain. And so the notion that we're, you know, Minnesota is going to be able to implement a study looking at high CBD is probably years away. And in the meantime, these folks, all the good people here who've traveled from all over the state to impress upon you the desperate need that they have to be able to, to have safe legal access to whole plant medicine, these people will continue to suffer every day because we're going to delay a medical marijuana bill in order to implement a study. I think that's deeply concerning, and I want to make sure to also mention that I'm from a state, Arizona, that has a medical marijuana law on the books now for 4 years, and I'd be happy to share with you our experience. Our law is written very similar to the language of the bill that you're looking at right now, and so after 4 years of experience implementing our law, I'm eager to share our data. I have specific data hot off the press from our state health department that will give you a very good glimpse of what your program will look like in the next few years. And I'm excited to. I had an opportunity to meet the staff of your health department just a few minutes ago. And one of the things I want you to know is our health department director has offered to work directly with your team at the health department here to help shape your program and ensure that that program stays a medical marijuana program, does not veer into a recreational program. Arizona has one of the most conservative medical marijuana programs in the country. We're very proud of the program that's been created, and it's all about the rulemaking that's happened after the law was implemented, and I think that's something that those two departments can work closely together to help really create something exemplary. So.
Thank you, Doctor. Senator Dibble, did you want some of the outcomes that Dr. Sisley referred to be described at this time, or what is your decision?
Madam Chair, I think we could probably dive right into, I think probably maybe the best way to format the conversation at this point is to start describing the amendment that I was going to offer, the A6. And Dr. Sisley is available should folks have questions about what has worked well in a state like Arizona in terms of the medical marijuana program there.
Thank you.
Is also another exemplar. I think from a handout that we distributed last time, we show kind of the comparisons, California, New Mexico, what Minnesota proposed to. Minnesota proposes to go quite a bit further in tightening up the regulatory regimen than even those states.
Thank you, Senator Dibble, and thank you, Dr. Sisley, for coming. These hearings are often tight, and we don't get enough time with you. But I certainly would like to have an opportunity to understand all that you could share with us. So maybe that some of that will emerge as we move forward. And thank you for staying for the hearing. Okay, so the first action is the A6. First of all, we have to take a... I think we have to take this off the table, right? We have to take a motion here to take Senate File 1641 from the table. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. All right. So now, Senator Dibble, you have the A6 amendment. Would you like to introduce the purpose of this amendment to us?
Madam Chair, and I'd like to add an oral amendment to the A6. Which would be to strike lines 1.15 through 1.17. So you can just kind of either scribble that on your amendment or hold
so
it in
maybe,
your head.
So maybe, Senator Dibble, let's start by saying, instead of introducing the A6, let's just start by saying that you'd like to make an oral amendment to the A3 amendment.
All right.
And that is to remove lines
1.15 through 1.17.
1.15 through 1.17, and the A in the parentheses. On line 11?
Oh, yes. I guess it would be unnecessary in that case.
Oops, I
says he meant this.
So the oral amendment is to remove on line 1.11, parentheses A parentheses, and to remove lines 1.15 through 1.17.
And Madam Chair, the reason is we're doing that is because in the A6 we have a better clarification of what the usable amount is later on page 3, and we can get to that at the time.
Any questions? All those in favor say aye. Excuse me.
I'm sorry,
Senator
Madam
Lori.
Chair.
Yes.
On, you know, it's just technical, but on line 111, then I would also remove the A.
She did.
You don't.
We
did. Okay.
We added that. Yes. Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The amendment to the A3 passes. Now we move to the A6 amendment.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. And just by way of a overview, highlight, reminder, and this theme will come up throughout the kind of the stepping through. You know, what we're hoping to achieve, of course, is to allow seriously ill patients to access medical marijuana who otherwise don't have alternatives or for whom alternatives are more negative. Under a very limited basis and under a fairly strict regimen and with guidelines and due authority by state officials and others. The bill as proposed, I think, accomplished that in good measure. And as folks took a closer look and scrutinized the details of the text, came up with more good suggestions and good advice, and we took all of that in. One of the ideas was making sure that folks who are involved in the employment of the alternative treatment centers and in the distribution or assisting in any form or fashion, you know, are individuals of good standing who don't have a bad record, particularly as relates to marijuana. And so we developed the idea of a disqualifying felony offense. I refer to as a DQFO for sure. I'm not going to use that. on page 2, line 13, you'll see that a designated caregiver cannot have been found guilty of a disqualifying felony offense. And then we go on to define what a disqualifying felony offense is. Oh, and Madam Chair, I have Heather Ozzie here who may jump in from time to time to help me. She's our technician who did a lot of the detailed work on developing this language. So if I get a little stuck, she'll either just jump in or I'll call upon her if you don't mind.
Just to be clear, just for a procedural thing, we do have a quorum.
All right. Thank you.
And we did when we took the last motion.
Madam Chair, a disqualifying felony offense is defined. And that's someone who's violated state or federal controlled substance laws, unless that was related to the medical use of cannabis or assisting with the medical use of cannabis. Page 2, line 15, just simply eliminates the word closet from what we define as an enclosed locked facility. Page 2, line 17, rather than... the only place now that we'll find these enclosed lock facilities are in these medical cannabis organizations. Those are the alternative treatment centers or the labs. So that's just a technical clarification. Page 2, line 27. Madam Chair, this is these next couple of lines are in response to a desire to tighten up who has the prescribing authority. Basically, we eliminate alternative APRNs and physician's assistants and confine the authority to prescribe to medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy. We make sure that who are prescribing for mental health or PTSD purposes are Minnesota-licensed psychiatrists. Just a clarification there. And then on line 11 of page 3 is where we kind of drill down a little bit more on what is what we define as usable cannabis. That would now read usable cannabis means any cannabis that is not growing and does not include the weight of any non-cannabis ingredients combined with cannabis, including ingredients added to prepare a topical administration, food, drink, or pill. And that, of course, relates back to the limitation on only having 2.5 ounces at any one time. And I'll just add parenthetically that that is a much smaller amount than is allowed in pretty much any other state. Again, another step to make sure that we have a fairly tight regimen here in Minnesota. Let's see, I just lost myself. Jumping ahead to page 4, concern that arose out of the hearing. I thought I heard something.
Excuse me, Senator. Is there a page 4? Okay, now we're moving to A3.
Oops. Yeah, I'm sorry. Page 4 of A3. I'm sorry.
Page 4 of the A3.
Starting with line 1.23. Sorry about that. So this further restricts for when folks are smoking to make sure that they're not smoking in public transportation.
Excuse me. I think people are just getting a little confused as to where we're going.
Senator Dibble, I just can't tell where you are, what you're reading off of here.
So I'm looking on the A3. I'm looking at page 4 and on the A6. So starting at around line 4.6. So if you want to find the A3.
4.6 on which?
A3.
On the A3.
Right. I think, Senator Dibble, just for the committee, as we're going down here and on the A6 amendment, when it refers to the page that's being amended, then we have to go back to the A3 amendment to see specifically what it is that.
We're going back and forth very well here.
So
sorry about that.
Excuse me. So excuse me for interrupting again, Senator Dibble. I just think people are very interested in being clear about what you're working here. So
very good.
Would you orient us again to where you are?
All right. So if members want to look at the A6, the amendment to the A3, I'm looking at lines 1.23. To 1.29.
It's on page 4.
That's
amending page 4.
And that would be engrossed into lines 4.6 to 4.7. And so what that would accomplish, Madam Chair, is restrict smoking from public transportation, exposure to minor children, or in public places. Moving down to kind of the end of that section, so we'd look at line 1.30 of the A6 would be engrossed after line 4.12 of the A3. This simply provides that anyone who controls a building or property is not required to allow anyone to smoke on those premises. Line 1.34 of the A6, which would be engrossed at lines 4.16 of the A3, requires that the commissioner in his or her rule authority, if they're considering adding those purposes for which medical cannabis can be prescribed, would be required to request guidance from the advisory council. The advisory council is described later in the A3, and we can talk about who sits on that, but those are, for the most part, medical experts and other kinds of experts, law enforcement experts, et cetera. So then that eliminates the ability of the commissioner on his or her whim to add conditions for which this substance can be prescribed. Page 4, line 20, just simply inserts the words forms. Again, that's part of the rulemaking authority. Just a little clarification there. Moving on, folks want to flip over to page 2 of the A6. And starting at line 5.5 of the A3, again, we're in the rulemaking authority of the commissioner, and it adds to it, bolsters some of the security considerations for the alternative treatment centers, includes facility access controls, perimeter intrusion detection systems, personnel ID, 24-hour surveillance, and making sure that all of those systems of observation and control are accessible to law enforcement and to the agency. Moving along to line 2.6 of the A6 and down to line 5.9 of the A3, adding also this was in response to some testimony a couple of weeks ago, rulemaking authority to ensure that standards can be set for the safe production of cannabis. Moving down to the next line, kind of strengthening that provision a little bit, striking those that existing sentence and replacing it with requirements for the testing and labeling of cannabis sold by the ATCs, including potency, you know, of THC, CBD, weight of a product intended for oral consumption. Again, giving the commissioner the ability to write rules to respond to some of the concerns that were articulated. Lines 5.11, establishing procedures and criteria, just kind of bolstering that language a little bit, on the establishment of suspending or revoking the registration certificates, the identity cards, for the organizations and the cardholders. Moving along to line 2.13, which is engrossed on page 6 of the A3, so 2.13 of the A6, which takes you to page 6 of the bill. Strengthening some of the information that we want from the folks who are going to be running these organizations, the alternative treatment centers. Make sure we have their address. Madam Chair, is a part of the whole regimen around making sure that folks who are running the alternative treatment centers as well as the testing organizations are thoroughly vetted and you know, have background checks. And it's this effort to create what we're calling a race to the top, making sure that only those with the best credentials are those who are approved by the commissioner to be starting, owning, and operating these alternative treatment centers. On line 6.3 of the bill of the A3, we delete the provisions for name, date of birth, et cetera, for the potential employees, because the employees won't be known at the time of application, but we do later on in the bill strengthen the provisions for ensuring that those folks who are working at the organizations don't have the disqualifying felony offenses and have thorough background checks done. So I think I wouldn't be alarmed at this deletion, because we actually strengthened those considerations later on in the bill. Again, we add none of the principal, moving down to line 6.13 of the bill of the A3, which you can find on line 2.18 of the A6. We insert this notion of the disqualifying felony offense. None of the folks who are going to be board members or the principals of the medical cannabis organization, that's, again, another way of saying alternative treatment center, as well as these testing facilities. So none of them can have gotten crosswise with the law on drug offenses. Moving down to line 26, 6.26 of the A3, I'm sorry, I'll try hard to keep track us back and forth. So 2.6 of the A3, which is on line 2.20 of the A6 amendment, simply making it permissive that a county greater than 5,000 square miles have two alternative treatment centers. So not mandating that particular county. I think that's St. Louis County. That's referring to St. Louis County. And then we insert just below that, so engrossed on the bill on the A3, after line 6.28, which you'll find on the A6 amendment at line 2.22 and 2.23, giving complete discretion to the commissioner on whether or not they can register an alternative treatment center. So final authority when someone applies to open up, the other word, of course, is dispensary, but we use alternative treatment center because dispensary has gotten a bad name. So we're trying to use different language so that we don't evoke California. So the commissioner can use his or her complete discretion about whether or not to approve a particular facility from opening for whatever reason. Line 6.31, just a kind of a technical, there's a 6.31 of the bill, 2.24 of the amendment. There's this numerically scored competitive bidding process that's established based on a number of the criteria you find earlier. And we just make sure it's that the commissioner is using that numerically scored competitive bidding process. Madam Chair, moving down to line 2.25 of the amendment, A6, which takes us over to line 7, or page 7 of the bill. What this accomplishes is that, the holders of the cards have to renew on an annual basis, have to apply, and then they also have to renew. And so when they renew on an annual basis, they have to go through all of the initial criteria, all the initial procedures that are established for the initial issuance. So when you renew, you have to renew your written certification from your licensed practitioner. You have to pay another $100 again. Make sure that you're conveying your current name, mailing address, et cetera. Of the patient, your practitioner, your designated caregiver, the signed statement, if you're a caregiver that you're only agreeing to have been a caregiver for that person and no more than five, Madam Chair and members, I'll call your attention in particular line 7.25 of the bill because I don't know if we touched on that. That's an important provision. Those who have a prescription can only receive their cannabis from one location, which responds to a criticism or a concern that had been articulated sometime in the past about folks kind of gaming the system and going from place to place and accumulating more than their 2.5 that they're entitled to. So you can only pick one place where you go, and that's the only place where you can get your medical cannabis, which is different, by the way, I'll say, for pharmacies. People game pharmacies all the time, so it's a little tighter than even the kind of standard practice of receiving medicine. So where am I? Lost myself here. Line 15 of the... line 15 and 16 of the bill, the A3, which you can see on lines 2.26 and 2.7 of the A6. There was concern that folks who are homeless, who don't have permanent addresses, somehow we wouldn't keep in track of them quite as tightly. So they will have to provide an address. And I don't think that's a reasonable request, and I don't think... that's necessarily a burden because, we create those provisions for people without homes in other ways. They can identify their home address as a shelter or some sort of service agency or something like that. So that was a good change. Moving along, line 2.28 of the amendment, which will take us to page 8 of the bill. Kind of tightening up a little... A little bit of detail about the photograph that would appear on the card for the cardholder, that the photograph is taken full-on, full-face view facing the camera. And then jumping ahead to line 29 of the amendment on page 2, which will take us to page 9 of the bill. On line 28, a qualifying patient must, instead of may, notify the commissioner of any change in the treatment center, the dispensary from which you're going to get your medical cannabis. So just kind of tightening that up just a little bit. That, again, refers back to that you can only go to one place. Moving ahead to line 2.30, which will jump us to the next page of the bill, page 10. And that says it's not an if, it's a when the certifying practitioner notifies the commissioner. So that just, rather than make it optional, it's required, and then we have more language around that a little later on. And then we delete the in writing, and I'm not sure why we made that change, Ms. Ozzie. We just strike in writing.
To allow the practitioner members, Madam Chair.
Identify yourself.
Would you say your name?
I'm Heather Ozzie, AZZI, Political Director of Minnesotans for Compassionate Care. We cut the phrase in writing on line 10.4 to enable the practitioners to notify the commissioner on the phone, by email, any way that he needs to.
Jumping down to after line 18 of the bill, of the A3, which you can see the language at starting at line 2.33 of the amendment, just creates a more affirmative requirement for practitioners, now are of course confined to medical doctors and DOs, to notify the commissioner when the patient really no longer has a need for medical cannabis. So even though it's just kind of what they say, suspenders and belts, just further clarifying that there's an affirmative requirement that notice be made to the commissioner. Line 34, which of page 10 of the bill, which is on line 3.3 of the amendment, the sentence that reads, "The commissioner shall give reasonable notice of an inspection," is deleted. So folks can expect to be inspected at any time. These are the labs and the dispensaries. So they don't—they can't run around and clean up the premises with a 3-day notice or whatever. It's a good change. Moving ahead to page 11 of the A3, which you can find on lines 3.4 through 3.7 of the A6 amendment. The employees of the dispensaries and in the labs are subject to criminal history background checks before they can start work, and they cannot have been convicted of a disqualifying felony offense. So moving ahead to line 3.8 of the amendment, which jumps us all the way up to page 14 of the bill. This has to do with when folks are visiting the state of Minnesota who use medical cannabis. We're trying to provide enough, making sure that folks are allowed to visit, but making sure there's enough standards for them. The alternative is that they not be allowed to visit, and that seemed pretty harsh. So we're trying to figure out a way to make sure that folks can visit, but they're well within, kind of the standards that we have in Minnesota. So what we ask is that the visiting qualifying patient has a statement from someone back in their home state who's a licensed authority that they have the debilitating medical conditions that we allow for and authorize in Minnesota. So folks are going to have to know what the law is in Minnesota before they come visit and have this statement from their doctor, basically. Moving ahead, Madam Chair, to line page 16 of the bill, of the A3, And you'll find that on line 13 of page 3 of the amendment. So 3.13 of the A6 refers to line 16.16 of the bill. This has to do with, so we provide for, you know, folks can't be discriminated against from renting. However, the landlord doesn't have to allow for smoking in that apartment building.
Senator Dibble?
Yes.
Would you add in your amendment changing the term on line 3.13 from the paragraph goes not prevent?
Oh, yes.
To
it's a typo.
Paragraph does not.
Didn't even see that. I will incorporate that change. G becomes D. Thank you. Let's see. Madam Chair, moving to 3.15 of the A6 amendment, which will take us to line 17.17 of the bill. We delete, we're providing for the affirmative defense, so that, you know, this is like the legal protections for folks who are using medical cannabis. And we delete, I'll ask Ms. Ozzie with that.
Madam Chair, members, we cut that phrase "and a reasonable amount of cannabis that is not usable cannabis" because it would have permitted, or possibly, it would have arguably permitted a patient to cultivate their own and then argue about that in court. So we remove that ability there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So, Madam Chair, that's yet another further tightening of the bill. And then the remaining language is found on lines 18 and 19, and I'll go through it quickly, but just in summary, this is kind of the flip side of the coin, spelling out those circumstances and situations in which folks are violating the law. Again, another, I think, argument for why this is a good bill is because folks who are using medical marijuana are not only subject to pretty much, you know, existing state law when they're you know, outside of using marijuana for medical purposes, but even additional penalties and sanctions if they step outside of the requirements of this provision. So this has to do, and then again, this is also getting to the concerns that somehow there's going to be more availability of marijuana to folks who aren't entitled to use it under this proposal. And I'll call your attention later to this study that was handed out to you about teenage use not increasing in those states that have medical marijuana. But this just makes sure that no one is transferring or giving, selling, or otherwise giving marijuana to anyone else who has a prescription. So where we accomplish that, Madam Chair, is on page 18 of the bill, starting on line 25. You can see the language on line 3.17. We eliminate the word sells and replaces that with the word transfers. Moving on to line 30 of that same page, removing the standard of knowingly commits. Page 19, line 7 of the bill, which you can see on lines 3.19 of the amendment, we eliminate the words sells or otherwise and just leave the word transfers in place. And then we delete the expression in exchange for anything of value. So again, just getting to the idea that there's no giving or selling your medical cannabis to anyone else, or else you're subject to some pretty strict penalties that are described later on in that section. I'm sure that's the extent of the amendment. I stand for questions.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Are there any questions on the amendment with the oral amendment of goes to does? Senator Eaton.
So would smoking marijuana fall under the Clean Air Act?
Senator Dibble.
Madam Chair, effectively, Senator Eaton, effectively, yes, because anyone who controls the premise isn't required to allow anyone to smoke.
But then, Madam Chair?
Senator Eaton.
Where is that language? It's prohibited.
But then could, like in public place, like in a bar, could someone be smoking marijuana?
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Yeah, no, I...
That doesn't allow that under this.
No. Madam Chair, I think the language is very clear. It says no smoking in public places.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Dibble, just for my clarification on that subject, on your A6 amendment on line 1.25, you're describing where this is not allowed, mm-hmm. correct?
Correct.
So any form of public transportation where children are there or in a public place. And then further on, requires any person or establishment in lawful possession. A public place, by the way, under the Freedom to Breathe Act is in the public shared spaces of an apartment complex or in an entryway. So that's a public place. But even in the Freedom to Breathe Act, people are allowed in their own homes to smoke should they choose to do that. So if it's legal.
Correct, Madam Chair.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to that point, it seems like it would further clarify things if your amendment specifically said that referenced the Freedom to Breathe Act. I think that would just clarify, mm-hmm. simplify a lot of language, and just, I'm not exactly sure, maybe a reviser could tell us where to insert that, but I think that would certainly clarify.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble?
I think that's a good suggestion.
And so what we might do is say add a line here or in the Clean Indoor Air Act, which mm-hmm. would open it up for other kinds of things, I suspect. So I would prefer to have you articulate it here that says smoking cannabis, what does it say, is prohibited on any form of public transportation.
Madam Chair, I'll defer to the brilliance of Ms. Kavanagh, but
yes.
But maybe a paragraph D could be added to that section that says smoking cannabis is subject to, and maybe make
the
citation
Clean Indoor Air Act or something.
Chapter. Right, I don't. You think we would remember the chapter and verse, wouldn't you?
Yes. Okay, well, let's continue, right. And we'll work on that.
All right.
All right. Thank you for that.
Madam Chair.
Any other discussion? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, on your A3 amendment on 6.25, additional alternative treatment centers, I'm curious about that language of a county that is greater than 5,000 square miles must have at least two alternative treatment centers regardless of population. I have some counties that don't even have stoplights in their county.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
6.25.
Yeah.
The part about you don't have counties that what?
That don't even have stoplights. Yeah. Stoplights.
Oh,
stoplights.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of curious about.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Dibble.
First of all, the language on line 6.26 was changed from must to may. This is confined to a single county that is greater than 5,000 square miles, and under the current definitions, the number of alternative treatment centers in a county are regulated by the population of that county. So you can see up above, starting on line 6.17, going through 6.24, how that works. It's for county, no alternative treatment centers for counties less than 20,000, and then it just kind of steps up from there. One for counties of 300,000 or fewer, two for counties 300,000 to a million, and then three for counties over a million. And in this particular instance, there's a particular county and a particular legislator, because of the size of the county, wanted to perhaps have two alternative treatment centers. That's St. Louis County, correct? But rather than requiring that there be two alternative treatment centers, the requirements seem to fly in the face of the discretion of the commissioner to cite alternative treatment centers. We want the commissioner to have absolute authority over, you know, any and all establishment of alternative treatment centers, because there's a lot of pretty strict standards that we want them to adhere to. And so we don't want to force the commissioner's hand in any case. We made that requirement more permissive.
On that, Senator Dibble, on line 6.26 of the A3, when you added may instead of must, I think we can eliminate the two words at least.
Madam Chair, that makes
sense.
So
we'll add that.
Yeah, all right. We will add that to the amendment.
Any other questions on the A6 amendment? Any other questions? Okay, let's make sure that our motion incorporates the oral amendment to change goes to does, that it includes the elimination on line 6.26, the words at least. And do we have some language to consider? We have to have in the, it's an oral amendment, it's the A6 amendment that eliminate. Okay, excuse me. Because this is not in the A6 amendment, it's in the A3 amendment, we'll have to go back and address these three issues, the Clean Indoor Air Act, changing and correcting the language in those two areas after we pass the A6 amendment. So excuse me. No further discussion on the A6. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Passes. Okay, thank you. So we will then have the oral amendments to correct on line, now on the amended A3 amendment. I've lost my track of the pages here and turning things. So it would be on line, on page 16, line 16, with the new language from the A6 amendment, we would be correcting the term goes to does. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. And on the A3 amendment, what page is that? Page 6.26. We eliminate an oral amendment to eliminate the words at least. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Passes. And now if Ms. Kavanaugh is ready.
Madam Chair, I don't know if I am. Here's the question. Would it make more sense to define public place as it's and cite the definition and bring in the Clean Indoor Air Act definition of public place? Because you're prohibiting smoking cannabis in a public place. So if you define public place and use
the Clean Indoor Air Act
definition.
Senator Dibble?
Except that, Madam Chair, members, I think we want to be more inclusive of that definition, because we don't want folks sitting out on the Capitol steps.
But we would say and. It wouldn't eliminate the other things that you're saying here. Right. We would just say in that same line where it says indoor places as defined.
Yeah, in a public place.
Public place, not like nursing homes. Or
I see.
Yeah, so as defined under section 144.413, subdivision 2.
So on the I'm referring you back to the A6 amendment language, where you have identified on point line 1.28. We would not eliminate the other components, Senator Dibble. We'd simply add in a public place as defined under that section of the statute. Senator Hoffman.
Madam Chair and counsel, there was a provision in this bill that said nursing home facilities and the group home providers may look at providing that. Does this no? All right. Thank you.
No.
I can speak that.
Senator Dibble, are you supportive of that language as an amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Nelson.
I was just going to say, that actually gets to the gist of what I was looking at, which is making it consistent with the Clean Indoor Air Act.
Yes,
so I think that would address my concern.
All right. So would you articulate the language for us, and we as a amendment that would be offered by Senator Nelson?
Madam Chair, then on the A6, page 1, line 28, after place, insert as defined under section 144.413, subdivision 2.
Any further discussion on the amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Passes. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Is there anything further, Senator Dibble?
We discovered another issue, an error in the A6. I'll have Ms. Ozzie describe it. It has to do with committing knowingly and known violations of the section.
Ms. Ozzie, would you refer us to the place that you are looking for correction?
In the A3 amendment on, line 18.3. The A6 amendment struck the word known on that line rather than the word knowing. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. The A6 amendment struck the word knowingly rather than the word known.
It's line 30 on page 18.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I see. So you want to reinstate knowingly and eliminate the term known.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And the A6 amendment? Articulate that for us. This is what the motion will be for the correction.
Madam Chair, on A6, page 3, line 18, delete knowingly and insert known.
Senator Hayden offers the amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Passes.
Right.
Are there any other corrections? Okay, so we'll open it now to the committee members for discussion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rosen.
If there is no discussion, I do have the A4 amendment.
Senator Rosen offers the A4 amendment. Is this to be distributed? It'll be distributed.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, Senator Dibble, this is the something that is, I think, a good compromise to a bill that we would like to see move forward as far as relief for some of these patients that are suffering. But I think there are a lot of unanswered questions about medical marijuana. I believe the governor has expressed his concerns about that, and he had a he proposed a study. Unfortunately, I think the study language had $2.4 million in it for grants, which are not feasible at this time. But I believe, as you can see in this amendment, you're dealing with a Schedule I drug, number one, that does need to go through FDA approval, and they are working on that. And I know that any drug that goes through the FDA, I'm sure it's at least a dozen years of trials, but I could be wrong on that, and I would ask Dr. Sisley. But as you can see, it's going to give us some of the answers that I think we need to have in order to move forward, such as the patient experiences, impact on the healthcare provider community, impact on substance abuse. As we all know, we had the drug court day the other day, and hopefully some of you had people from your district that came to visit you that are in drug court. And talking to them about their experiences, I think is very important to have that information, what it's going to happen. It has been referred to as a gateway drug, and I do believe that's true, and especially after listening to these individuals that were in my office time and time again. It has a study on the access to and the quality of the product. I think that's something that has been needs to be drilled down on and have some strict guardrails. It also will have the law enforcement concerns and activities that we need to deal with, the public awareness and perception, and any unintended consequences. And, of course, the commissioner shall report to the chairs of February 1st of 2015. So, Madam Chair, I would... I look forward to the discussion. I think this is a discussion that we need to have in this committee before we can move this bill forward in a very responsible way that has guardrails, and so I look for your support, and I'd like to move the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Rosen. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members and Senator Rosen. And Madam Chair and members, I do want to articulate clearly, and I've articulated this privately. I appreciate, first of all, being made aware that an amendment was coming forward. I hadn't seen the specifics of it, but I do want to express, and I've expressed to the commissioners and everyone with a different perspective and a different point of view on this subject, that I fully respect people's concerns and very much value the opportunity to raise those concerns and have these kinds of discussions and these kinds of hearings. I would resist the A4 amendment. You'll be shocked to know, only because for two major reasons. One is I think we do have a lot of experience now with that we can draw from other states, showing and learning from them what works well and what doesn't. And I think if we were to pass this proposal, it would become, I think, the model, the gold standard for the rest of the country in terms of limiting access and addressing public safety concerns. Secondly, I think there's a lot of evidence, both research-based evidence, but also, I concede some of it is anecdotal because we don't have the amount of research that we need, but there is a ton of evidence. People have been using the substance for thousands of years, and certainly folks have been using it for a number of decades, showing some benefit where the alternatives are non-existent or actually worse. And folks today need relief. They're being forced to go without, to be separated from their families, or participate in criminal activities. And that, I think, is very much tugging at the urgency that I feel around this particular subject. I think there's some evidence, and you see the study in front of you, that if designed well, some of the concerns articulated don't actually come to bear. Increased teenage use, and I agree, teenagers shouldn't be using marijuana, for recreational purposes. We have enough controls when the substance is prescribed for young people. There have to be two doctors. There has to be consent of the parents. And when addressing the Nelson handout and some of the concerns that have been articulated, when a certificate is issued, when a prescription is made to a qualifying patient by their now doctor or DO, there have to be a full disclosure. People have to know the potential downsides. And so we have, in the absence of anything available to folks, we have something that they might be able to access, but they have to be fully informed. It is absolutely true. Commissioner Jessen wasn't wrong. Commissioner Ellinger wasn't wrong when they articulated some of the concerns about the substance. It has effects, addictive qualities and other sorts of effects. That being said, we heard the testimony of the doctor a couple of weeks ago, and we know that that is also true of substances that are available over the counter and substances that are prescribed.
Thank you. Any further discussion, Senator Rosen, and then Senator Hayden? Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just in response to just a couple comments by Senator Dibble, this is much of this language is from the governor's recommendations, and we added a few more requirements to make sure that we get the research and the information that we do need that has not been done on this medical marijuana here. And I do think before you move forward with a very comprehensive bill as we have in front of us, that obviously where the commissioners of both departments are not comfortable and law enforcement's not comfortable and the treatment community is not comfortable and the psychiatric communities aren't comfortable, a lot of people are not still comfortable with the bill, not saying that there shouldn't be some relief or some work done on this. I feel that it would be irresponsible for us to just move forward with something that still has some loopholes. And I do appreciate the Sixth Amendment, Senator Dibble. You did tighten up a few things that were troubling. So I do appreciate you working on it. But I do believe that because you don't know, everybody is not at the table yet and not saying, you know what, this is something that we can move forward with. I do believe this is an alternative, the A4 Amendment. And I do look forward to getting everybody around the table to work forward and say, yes, this is something that we can propose and support.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I speak in favor of the A4 amendment. It addresses a number of the concerns that I have. And so while the amendment that we addressed today, Senator Dibble, you did a nice job of tightening up a lot of things, and I could sense that you've spent a lot of time doing that. But even with that tightening, there's this foundation that's missing that is very troubling to me, and that's the foundation of science, knowing what is a therapeutic dose. What are the what's the uniform dosage? What are the active ingredients? That type of science is missing. What's the potency? What's the purity of the drug? And what's the dosing? What are the side effects? And without that type of scientific knowledge, my fear is that we will never get to the place where I think this bill is intended, which is that marijuana could be used for medical purposes. Without this type of study that is asked for here in the A4 and without the scientific data, then we will never get to that point. And we will continue to practice what would be kind of like the Wild West of medicine. And so I think this A4 study, which is very similar to what the governor recommended, would get that scientific data that we need in order to develop best practice standards. There are no best practice standards as a guide in medical marijuana. And so I think it's premature at this point to move with medical marijuana without the scientific backing and the data and the information that will come from this particular study.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Senator Dibble?
Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, I appreciate completely what you're saying. But we're in a catch-22, of course, marijuana being a Schedule I drug, and we heard the testimony of Dr. Sicily earlier about the bind that we're in to get the level of detail that we need. That being said, there actually is a lot of knowledge, more so than we think. And in fact, I have here, I didn't make copies of it. We can if folks are interested in. It's a 16-page document that is published by the Mayo. They use outside resources for it. It's not Mayo Research itself. But that does go into a fairly significant detail around dosing as appropriate for the various conditions that medical cannabis has shown some efficacy for. Does some grading on where there is strong scientific evidence for the use, or good or unclear, fair, or strong scientific evidence against the use, and then a lot of information about upsides and downsides and considerations and that sort of thing. So it's not quite the Wild West. That would be an overstatement. There is a lot of data and a lot of knowledge that's being passed back and forth between practitioners and researchers and the like. Madam Chair, I know Dr. Sicily had a response as well to
Dr. Sicily.
Yes, Madam Chair, members. A few things. I appreciate the commentary from Senator Dibble, because I think the Mayo's their discussion of this subject really highlights the fact that there is data on this, that I think the Minnesota team under Heather has put together, compiled a number of articles that have been published in peer-reviewed journals discussing the efficacy of cannabis. The dosing is challenging, and drug development trials for cannabis are decades away. I mean, we are talking about, our study is a phase two trial. It's so early in the drug development process that the chance of having true dosing standards for cannabis are probably at least a decade from now. And in the meantime, your constituents, these patients, are suffering and need safe legal access. So I think one of the things that I wanted to emphasize today is it is possible to conduct active clinical trials in the midst of having a very robust and conservative medical marijuana program in your state. And I think that would be the optimal choice for this state, is to approve this bill as is, as amended today, and enable these clinical trials to occur hand in hand with a very strict program. I think you would be able to be, a resource for all the other states in this country if you were able to conduct this research, because there are very few places that are doing this. But I wanted to just mention one other thing. We do, if you look at the PI, the product information on Sativex and other pharmaceutical-based, pharmaceutical company-sponsored marijuana products, Sativex, Marinol, they all have dosing information, and they all advise about self-titration. So that's a very important concept that any of these patients here can tell you about. Self-titration with marijuana is crucial, because we don't know the dose, but patients can safely utilize cannabis by starting low and going slow and titrating up the dose gradually. And I think that's what these patients have learned. Their experiences have informed thousands and thousands of patients all around the country. The 20 states that have medical marijuana laws on the books have not seen an increase in the adverse events that have been reported to our poison centers. And I would share with you that our poison centers probably have the biggest source of observational data in the country. If you look at our own poison center in Arizona, we take 65,000 calls per year, and only under 100 of those calls are even related to marijuana. And when they are calling in, the effects that they're reporting are very benign. They're things like, I feel dizzy, I feel nauseous. They're not fatalities, they're not any severe adverse events that are associated with many of the FDA-approved meds that I prescribe to patients every day. So I wanted to just share with you, because even in the 4 years that Arizona has had medical marijuana law in place, the number of calls to our poison center have not really increased at all. And that is an important piece of information. The other thing I wanted to just mention real quick is all of our leadership in Arizona opposed our medical marijuana laws every single time. It passed in 96. It passed again in 98. It finally passed and stuck in 2010. And in 2010, every state official who had the opportunity fought so hard against implementing this program. They thought it was dangerous. They thought it was negligent. And in fact, these folks have embraced the program now. We have a mature medical marijuana program that people are not afraid of anymore. The sky hasn't fallen in these 20 states that have laws on the books. And I think I recognize that many of your leadership in this state are concerned, law enforcement is concerned. We had the same dynamic in Arizona, and yet 4 years later, we have a reasonable program that is providing our patients relief.
Madam Chair, I just need to follow up.
A follow-up with Senator Nelson?
Oh,
and
yes. I think it'd be important to pass out the document that Senator Dibble referenced, because I know that there's a number who would like to actually see what it was that you were referencing, so I think that would be important. And then I would encourage people to look at the document that I passed out. It is footnoted well, and I will just say that there's no controlled data on the adverse effects, including toxicity and safety studies. There's no control over the content, potency, purity, and dosing. All of these are footnoted. You can examine that. The most common delivery method is smoking. We talked about that. That could have harmful consequences to public health. The thing is, there's no developed best practice standards as a guide for physicians. And, of course, 9% of users become addicted. And then I think probably one of the greatest concerns is the increased risk of developing psychotic disorders, possibly as high as sixfold, including schizophrenia, for young teens. And so I am very concerned about not having a study that will give us the information that I think everyone is interested in. And when I talked about the Wild West of medicine, that was not to negate what is already done with cannabinoid pills. And so there is certainly data about those cannabinoid medications that physicians can currently prescribe. My concern is about the dispensaries without any type of what the active ingredients are, what the toxicity is, what the therapeutic dose is. That's the concern, and that's why I think this study is what is needed before we would progress to where Senator Dibble's bill would like to go.
Senator Dibble and Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of responses. One is, if a doctor is prescribing for mental conditions, mental health conditions, including PTSD, that doctor would have to be a licensed psychiatrist. To the issue of purity, of course, one of the issues is when folks have to go out on the street and acquire cannabis that way. There's no way to know what you're getting. There's no way to know if there are pesticides. There's no way to know if there's other things mixed in to that. In the commissioner's rule writing authority, broad powers to establish standards of who's going to be employed, for example, at these facilities, who's going to be, so we can write as high as standards and or select from competing proposals up to and including making sure that pharmacists are on a principal or employee or in some manner working at those facilities or other kinds of professionals. That's at the discretion of the commissioner. We added language to make sure that commissioner had authority to write rules over requirements for the safe production of cannabis. and we added to the rules that that there be or strengthen this particular provision, page 5, line 10, item number 6. We insert the language requirements for the testing and labeling of cannabis sold by alternative treatment centers, including a numerical indication of potency based on the ratio of THC and CBD to the weight of a cannabis product intended for oral consumption. So we do try to provide some allowances for these considerations. And I'll just simply add that we know that no one has overdosed from smoking cannabis or overdosed from cannabis. When we're weighing relative risk and benefit, we've heard testimony. Traditional pharmaceuticals present, and when that's the only thing folks have available, they're engaging in much, much greater risk to their health in some instances than this would propose.
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Dibble for presenting this bill. I've spent 40 years working in mental health, and Senator Nelson's one sheet here does address a lot of the concerns I have just from my own personal experience and anecdotal experience working with people who have developed or already have mental health issues. The access to more marijuana is definitely not a good thing. I have concerns with science, that there's not a whole lot of science available. I know that there's some listed, and doctors stating that they support this, but when I look at like the blind studies and the studies of science, well, like the most recent one that came out from Boston, they're showing changes in the brain with just minor use, and that it affects the areas of the brain that affect decision making, emotions, and the ability to become addicted to other substances. So, and this is a consistent study. This also reinforces the studies that have been done on animals with brain changes. So, I guess I don't know that I would be comfortable with both, but I would certainly not want your bill, Senator Dibble, to go through without the amendment that Senator Rosen presents. I mean, I would want study to go with it, and I would want to know some of these answers and protect our citizens. There's a reason we have an FDA that seriously studies all of our drugs before we prescribe them to people and lists out the side effects and the potential harmful effects of each drug that I don't think we could put out on marijuana right now because we don't know. It depends on which plant it is you study. And, anyway, I have concerns. As a registered nurse, I've just seen a lot of issues with marijuana, and I do believe strongly in science and would strongly support this amendment, if not in place of the bill, at least along with it.
Is there any other senator wishing to? Senator Marty, excuse me, I didn't see you there.
Madam Chair, Senator Eaton, I had actually a similar thought to part of what you were saying, and that was instead of deleting everything and inserting this, inserting, and I'm not sure if this is the exact wording for the study, but inserting this on page 22 as an addition to the bill, because I do agree, I think we all agree we need more study of this, but I think that Senator Dibble has pointed out very well why this is not a good substitute for it. I'd be certainly open to adding this to the bill instead of deleting everything.
Okay, so we have our discussion is sort of centered around, I just want to summarize where we're at with the amendments. Senator Rosen's amendment is around whether or not a study should precede the movement of your bill, Senator Dibble, or should it be done simultaneously, where you can take a look at what is happening and evaluate some of its outcomes. We've been talking about the level of risk versus benefit and who is going to be taking that risk and should they have the right to take that risk themselves. And we've been talking about whether or not there are adequate boundaries established in your bill so that the goal of the bill, which is the medical use of marijuana for its appropriate focus prescribed by an appropriate person, is achieved and not something beyond or in addition to that. So those are all subjects appropriate to this committee, and I think we have discussed that. I think we would simply be repeating or adding new language to the same content. So I think we are now down to whether or not we want to move ahead with deleting all the language of your bill and replacing it with a study, or, as the alternative is being discussed now, whether or not we should add study language to your bill. So we have a motion on the table. So the options are to take action on this motion or to amend the motion.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Nelson.
I think there is an amendment that has been moved and our...
That's correct. That's what I'm saying. That there's an amendment on the table. Yes. It's been moved by Senator Rosen. So unless I hear somebody trying to amend... Senator Dibble?
Madam Chair, with the caveat that, you know, there are some details in here that I'd like to focus on, I am not opposed to the Marty suggestion that a study occur as a part of. So I would not be opposed in concept to adding the study as an amendment to the bill, in addition to the bill. I, of course, would resist strenuously replacing the language of my bill with the study.
Okay, so we're at the point of taking it. There is a motion on the table. There's an amendment on the table. So unless there is some other discussion at this time, we're going to take an action on this motion of Senator Rosen. So, Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, based on what Senator Dibble just said, I think I will move on line 1.2 to strike the language, delete everything after the enacting clause, and ask Senate counsel where we would insert such language.
Ms. Kavanaugh?
Madam Chair, it would be on page 22 after line 16, and then this would be a new section 22. So on line 3 of the amendment, change that to section 22, and then I would just delete the appropriation section.
Senator Marty offers that amendment to the A4 amendment of Senator Rosen's. Senator Rosen.
Madam Chair. I'm just looking at the effective date following enactment on Senator Dibble's bill. Is that correct? And I'm wondering if we could amend it so we're able to move the bill and it coincides with the results of the report, which is February 1st, allow the time to get the information required by the study before we start moving a bill that is going to be enacted immediately following signing by the governor.
I'm integrating what you're saying, Senator Rosen. Is everybody clear?
Madam Chair, I'm just
the underlying concern. The underlying concern is that you do not want the enactment of the Senator Dibble bill to precede the enactment of the health pact assessment of the medical use of cannabis. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. And I know this is apparently modeled off of Arizona's law, but it still is something that we need to make sure that we have some guardrails in and that it's effective. And I think a lot of the information that would be coming out of this report would perhaps steer the bill going forward. And I just want to make sure if we're going to do this, we don't come back and have to fix the bill again next year over and over.
Senator Dibble.
Madam Chair, I would resist that suggestion for two reasons. One is a lot of this activity is the activity that the commissioner will be undertaking in any case as a function of the rule writing. And that would need to start occurring fairly quickly. So, we have the standing offer from Arizona and other states. And our law is based, you're correct, Senator Rosen, on Arizona, but also the experience of a number of other states. I think we have a lot of good data in hand, but the commissioner and the various commissioners, public safety, human services, health, et cetera, are going to have to gather up all of this really good information to design a really good program. That all needs to start happening before any alternative treatment centers as well as the testing organizations and the others will even be established. So it's going to be a while anyways before folks mm-hmm. have access. This would just further delay their access yet another year or who knows how long. So I think this is all going to happen regardless concurrently. So,
Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I see this as just like a seven-month delay, and it also gives time for all of those issues to be addressed while we're waiting for the implementation date. It would just mean that the health department, et cetera, would have more time to prepare. And I guess I support Senator Rosen's request to move the implementation date to the February 1st. It is just 7 months, and it actually gives us almost 10 months to prepare for implementation of this bill.
Senator Rosen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And with all due respect, Senator Dibble, what other states are doing, I know I would probably appreciate some more information from Arizona as far as their statistics, but from what I've seen in Colorado, it is not this is not something that we should be comparing to what other states are doing, because right now they started in 2002 with medical marijuana. So my intention is to make sure that we can provide relief for these people that are suffering. And so I agree with Senator Eaton on this. I think this is valuable information that would help us move forward this bill correctly, so we're not going back and making sure that we're fixing the mistakes that have happened. And I think when you have this issue of a federal one drug that is in the hands of somebody that puts it in their medicine cabinet or has it exposed to children, we are already grappling with the issue of kids getting their parents' drugs. And I mean, this just opens up a whole new venue here. So,
Senator Rosen, would you, I know that Senator Marty wanted to speak. Is that correct, Senator Marty? Would you repeat what it is you're wanting, asking for consideration, which date you're changing here?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am trying to coincide Senator Dibble's bill, the A3 amendment, with the A4 amendment, which would make sure that they enact at the same time after we have. Oh, actually, I would like to put it to February 1st of 2015 after the information.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that's what you were saying. Senator Marty, and then I just would say that this may need to be a separate motion from the motion, the amendment that's in front of us. So, because that will be to the bill itself. And so we'll have to delay acting on this recommendation until after we act on your first amendment as amended by Senator Marty. Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, Senator Rosen and others, I think it's very important we study this. However, I'm not sure that this study as proposed here is going to the kind of studying I think that needs to be done, and I think it has to be done on an ongoing basis, is like your 0.5 access to the quality of the product, necessary amounts, effectiveness of different delivery systems. I'm not sure that our health and public safety and human service commissioners have the ability to do those kinds of studies. For some of the other ones, law enforcement activities and concerns, I could tell you already what's law enforcement concerns. I think I could tell you what they are already. I was just speaking to the fact that generally I think we should be doing more of the study on this. I'm not sure that the study as you're proposing here is going to accomplish something that if we delayed the rest of the bill for those other 9 months or 7 months or whatever is going to accomplish much. I'm willing to support this amendment if it's not delaying the rest of the bill, but I think actually before next committee or something, Senator Dibble might work out a better study that I think is going to be an ongoing process as this bill would be implemented. Patient experiences, I think even though it's illegal right now, I think we can find patients in Minnesota who will speak to what that is. I guess I think a study of this, as the opponents keep expressing concern about, I think is a legitimate concern. I'm not sure that you're going to get this. I mean, because it's a Schedule I drug, I don't think we're going to be able to do enough of the research and studies that make this important. So I'm trying to express sympathy because I agree with your concern about more study. I also don't think that that's a good justification for doing it. Since I do have an amendment to the amendment, we could address that, and then if she wants to try and amend it further, she'd have
okay, to on the amendment to the amendment. Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I think some of these studies are going to take years, and I don't disagree with that. But I'm thinking more in the terms of preparing the community and allowing law enforcement, the healthcare system, et cetera, to set up the parameters and the whole system to deal with this. I think saying that we can have this all ready to go July 1st is really not very responsible. I think giving it the delay till February 1st is an added bonus of starting the study first.
Senator Dibble wants to respond to Senator Eaton, I believe, and then Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is important. I appreciate Senator Eaton raising that concern, and I think it's important for members and the public to understand that this isn't going to spring fully formed out of the head of Zeus on July 1st, that there's going to be a significant undertaking of analysis and rigor and rule writing and the like, consultation, input, establishment of the advisory task force, and cards even won't even begin to be issued until July 1st of 2015. All of that needs to be able to occur in preparation. So exactly what Senator Eaton is looking for is called for in the bill, preparing the community, preparing the regimen, the circumstances, the regulations, and all of that.
All right, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I speak against the Marty Amendment to the Rosen Amendment, and that is because this is premature. This piece of legislation before us today is well-intended. There is a specific problem that it is trying to address, but it's premature. We do not know what would be effective. We don't even know what a consistent dose is. So to proceed forward as the Marty Amendment to the Rosen Amendment would do, it would put a study after the fact or alongside the fact that we continue forward with medical language that is based upon the science isn't there yet. And we need to get that. And it is true. There's the problem that it's class one drug. And so research is somewhat restricted. But it is not prohibited. There are labs who are doing research on this. And we can continue to put pressure on the feds to change the classification so that research can be done. But I think moving ahead with this amendment to the amendment, which adds a study along with all this language about production? How are we going to, what's the legal way to produce marijuana? Dispensaries, what's the legal way to sell it? This bill talks about a qualifying patient and a disqualifying felony offense and a qualifying visitor. All of that is premature, and that's why I speak against the MARTI amendment.
Yes, thank you. I would just remind the committee, I think that it's very clear that the arguments on whether or not to delay implementation and do the study first versus doing it simultaneously have been articulated, and that the only way to really resolve this issue is for us to take a vote as to whether or not people have been persuaded one way or the other. But I think all of these arguments that we're hearing now are repetitious. So I'm going to move now to Senator Hayden, and hoping that we're moving the discussion forward rather than circling around it again in hopes to change people's perspectives.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You took the words right out of my mouth. Can we move the amendment?
Thank you. The amendment to the amendment.
Senator Rosen, final word on the amendment to the amendment.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. It's unusual to go ahead and move with language that has that we're saying around this table that we need more research to be able to make sure that we know that we're moving forward in a responsible way. And I think the amendment that is before you, the A4, is going to give us those results. And so to go ahead and move with the bill and then get the research later seems to be a little irresponsible.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of Senator Marty's amendment to the A4 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, say nay.
No.
No.
The motion passes. And now to the A4 amendment as amended. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
No.
The motion passes. Was a surprise. He didn't hear your reasoning.
He lets his vote speak now.
Let my vote speak, Madam Chair. We're going to study stuff and study stuff, and let's just move on with this.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator. All right. Any further amendments to the bill? Seeing none. Seeing none. We are.
Madam Chair, hold on a second.
Senator Rosen.
I make a motion to move the date of the A3 amendment to February 1st, 2015.
I think it's to the bill, right? To the A3. Okay. So the sorry, Senator Rosen, you're changing on line 22.22. From July, deleting July 1st, 2014, and replacing it with February 1st, 2015. Does everybody understand yes, Senator Nelson?
Just some discussion on that. I think that's a responsible thing to do. My question would be if we should allow some time, if the report is not released until February 1 of 15. Perhaps we need some time to have some hearings on that report to see what we learn from that study and then proceed accordingly. I throw it out there for discussion, not as as an amendment to the amendment, because I want to know what Senator Rosen thinks about extending your amendment. So we actually have time to have some public hearings and talk to some to our experts and our scientists and our physicians and our law enforcement so that we know what the study, so we can get some actual use out of the study.
I think the feedback is that the study will not be able to be completed in that time frame that has any significant meaning to it. And the other feedback from Senator Dibble is that the even with this date, the implementation, the rule setting is going to occur, take up all the time that we're talking about here in terms of the dates that are being set. The actual implementation cannot occur much before this date, much less any study of what's being implemented. So,
well, Madam Chair?
Senator Nelson.
I think the amended Rosen amendment that we adopted states that the commissioner will submit the report on February 1 of 2015.
I absolutely understand that, but I think that the committee needs to understand that although we voted for that, that the quality of the information that can be given to us at that time is substantially minimized by the fact that rulemaking may probably still be going on at that time. So, I mean, there is a lengthy process of putting together what is required to implement this bill by the department. So, Senator Marty.
And, Madam Chair, I think to your point as well, I would hope that Senator Dibble, before the next committee, can take a look at the study more, because I'm not sure that trying to do this kind of a study is – I mean, I think a study is extremely important, but I think it's more of an ongoing thing because I think – 2 years, 3 years from now, we'll have more information on all the details as well. I think this is, we want more study of it. I'm not sure that this is the study the way I would suggest we design one, but I think that maybe Senator Rosen and Senator Dibble and others can talk about that. But this is not going to, what comes out of this by February 1st is not going to be significantly answering any of the concerns I think that the opponents have. I think we should keep going ahead. I think it's going to be a very long process for the current bill to take effect anyway. So my only point is that I think the study in here is, it's right we should be doing a study. I'm not sure this is the right one, and I don't think that's a good excuse for delaying the bill.
So, Senator Dibble, the suggestion is that the idea of a study in simultaneously with the language of the bill is a good idea. Whether or not this exact structuring of that study fits the goals is uncertain, and we're hoping that that be examined further as we progress this bill to the next committee.
Right. Madam Chair, I won't repeat everything that's been said. I'll just affirm. Yes. I will say one thing. I've said it before, but I'll just say it again. I think some elements of the study are good and will help inform and support the rule writing that does need to occur over the course of the next year and a half. And like I said, no one is going to be being issued cards until next year anyways. And rule writing doesn't occur under deep cover either. That is a public collaborative process, with stakeholder participation and hearings and all of the like.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. So let's hear the motion again so everybody's clear upon which the motion that Senator Rosen is moving forward.
Madam Chair, my motion is to amend 22.22 to February 1st, the enactment date, and the reason being I think that's a compromise. It's a compromise for some of the major concerns that are around this table. And I disagree with the fact that some of this information from the study is not going to be valid for how this is crafted, but I do think this is very, very important information, and that would alleviate a lot of concerns. So that's why I feel that it's not responsible to move forward with a bill without some of this information.
Okay, Senator Rose, I want you to know my comments about the study are that in the interim time that we take a look at this to make sure that the language is such that it achieves the goals. People will be allowed to improve the language if it needs to be on the study. So it's not a dismissive to what is in your original amendment. But your amendment would be to line 22.22, deleting July 1st, 2014, and replacing it with February 1st, 2015.
Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call.
And there's a roll call has been asked for and granted. Will you please take the roll?
Senator Benson.
No.
Senator Eaton.
Yes.
Senator Hayden.
No.
Senator Hoffman.
No.
Senator Laurie.
No.
Senator Marty.
No.
Senator Nelson.
Yes.
Senator Sharon.
No.
Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Senator Wicklund?
No.
Do you want to see Senator Nienau?
There being 3 yes votes and 7 no votes, the motion fails. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none?
Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call.
There'll be a roll call on Senate File 1641. As amended. Would you please take the roll?
Senator Benson?
Yes.
Senator Eaton?
No.
Senator Hayden?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Yes.
Senator Lurie?
Yes.
Senator Marty?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Nienau? Senator Sharon?
Yes.
Senator Rosen?
No.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
While we're getting the vote count, I don't know if we needed to have in the amendment that it be referred to the local government, state and local government. Sure. We have to have that in the motion itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Yes. So, yes.
I thought it had to go to rules.
Well, it goes to the floor and then it will go to rules, but we refer it to the state and local government. So I'm going to have to ask for another roll call vote for the motion on this Senate file that it pass and be referred to state and local government. And so we'll repeat the roll call.
As amended.
As amended.
Senator Benson.
Yes.
Senator Eaton.
No.
Senator Hayden.
Yes.
Senator Hoffman.
Yes.
Senator Lurie.
Yes.
Senator Marty?
Yes.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Nienau? Senator Sharon?
Yes.
Senator Rosen?
No.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
On a vote of 7 yes votes and 3 no votes,